lives. Amen. I was just sitting back there thinking about when I met my wife in high school and my younger sister. And, you know, I was 16 years old, so we've been through everything. And I remember once I had my dad's truck, and it wouldn't start. And I had my sister and Alicia, you know, I'm like, you got to get out the truck. Y'all got to push the truck because we got to get to a hill, and then I can jump it off. And Rebecca was laughing, and Alicia was laughing. I'm like, you got to push the truck. So we've been through a lot. And that's naturally, but spiritually as well. But we thank God that that mercy came down and changed our family. We thank God for the prayers of our moms and dads and how it just, it followed us and got a hold of our lives. And we thank God for that. And we're leaning on the everlasting arms. We're going to try 45 and F. Let's try that in F. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace of mind, leaning on the everlasting arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace of mind, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Help us out.
Appreciate it, Brother John, Amen. Sister Alicia, Sister Rebecca. Lord bless you all. Enjoyed that. Amen. Who else can we turn to in these hard, troublesome times? Praise God. The only one we can turn on to is on Him. Leaning on Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Is Morty over there? Do you want to help us take up our offering, Morty? Mordecai? Come on down. You're the next contestant and the price is right. He's already getting used to coming up here, so... You want to pray?
Lord, take care of this church. We love you, Lord. Thank you for all you gave us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's sing Everybody Will Be Happy over there, key of F. Amen.
There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of man shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Sing God's praise. Everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in the triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. Oh, we will shout and sing God's praise. Everybody will be happy over there. For no burdens there will be for us to bear. All the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will be happy, will be happy. Shout and sing God's praise. Everybody will be happy over. There we'll meet the one who saved us. There we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by His grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise His name forever as we look upon His face. Everybody will be happy over there. Let's stand to our feet now. Oh, everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praise. Everybody will be happy. Let's sing that third verse again. We will hear nobody. We will hear nobody praying. And no mourning in that land. For no burdens there will be for us to bear. All the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be
good job, buddy. Good catch. Sing it again.
Oh, everybody will be happy.
Are you happy?
Smile. Happy.
it to him. Oh, everybody will be happy. Let's have some happy right now. Let's don't put it over there. Let's have a little bit today. Amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. That was some good playing, wasn't it? Got everybody playing. Everybody. Man, that's good. I'm not going to sing. Y'all get out of here. Sit down. Good to be in the house of the Lord again. Good to have each and every one of you here. While they're taking their seats, I want to, I announced that we were going to Ohio in the end of this month, in March. And for those of you that don't know it, and most of you do, there's a group from Ohio that that has come out of some other churches, and they're about 12 hours from here, and they are really, really loyal to watching the services. And Brother Isaac, he got a just a little, a little tug in his heart to, because they would sit around in the in their living room, or his living room, and watch the services online. And you know, that's kind of not like church. It's kind of just, kind of like some of y'all, you know, that stayed out during COVID. You just put your jammies on and kicked your feet up and watched the service and turned it off when you wanted to and let the dogs run through the house and everything else. Well, we don't do that here. So they had a purpose in their heart to have a place of worship. So if you pull it up on the screen, this is Brother Isaac's basement. That's the way it looked. Okay. Well, hang on a minute. Wait, he's kind of a bot. Must be saying, he must like himself. You see that? They're watching in. See the mirror, you know? And the little boxing thing. So, but we're going to convert this. This is what we're going to dedicate. Now watch. Here's the next one. Brother Anderson's working on it. That's good. Here's the next one. Look who's on the screen. They run them things continuous almost, all of our old services. But here they are getting everything ready to go. All right, next. And that's Brother Isaac, and that's his brother in the background, way far in the back. That's his sister, I believe, right there. And they came, Sister Tabitha, and I cannot remember the other sister's name that came. But some of those came down the other day, and what's that little girl's name? Selah. Selah. And that's Brother Isaac. So that's where they're getting some of it ready. Next slide. They're happy. Yeah. I think that's Aaron on the screen. But they play when we play. They stand when we stand. They sing when we sing. And go to the next slide. This is the last one, but look, they've made it into a place that they can have church. So we're going to go up there and dedicate that little place for them, and we're going to pray for them that the Lord will work some miracles up there. Amen. I tell you what, folks, if you had a desire in your heart like they do, God will send you somebody. Amen. I appreciate them watching and listening in. I really do. But everybody needs a pastor. You need somebody right there with you the whole time. So that's what we're going to pray for. I know they're watching in. Watching in now, but that's the desire they started with, just a place in the basement, and now they've got, look how they fixed it up. So they're sitting there right now, actually watching in. So God bless them. We love them, everyone. And they will be down here in April. They're coming to be the whole weekend. Excuse me. They're going to be the whole weekend with us at Easter. So we're going to have to, it's about 13 or 14 of them coming, and we're going to have to put them up. So we'll put them up in our homes and wherever need to be to get them down here. So everybody okay with that? Make them feel at home. Also, remember, Brother Bob will be preaching for us Wednesday night. March the 19th will be our youth meeting at 3 o'clock here at the church. Brother Matthew Watkins will be doing that. We will be eating afterwards. I think we'll need to get together maybe and either do spaghetti or something or pizza or whatever we usually do. Then there'll be only one service on Sunday. Brother Matthew will be doing it. So we hadn't seen Brother Matthew in a long time. We've seen him, but we haven't had him preach for us in a while. So be exciting to have him here with us. Also, remember, March 25th through 27th, we're going to be in Ohio. Brother Bob will be doing both services that weekend. And also, remember, April the 15th, 16th, and 17th, Brother Jewel Forney and Brother Homer Longoria and Brother Mike Olte will be doing those three services. So just pray for those services coming up. And then also, remember, we're going to have our July service again like we did last year. We're not going to have it down at the barn. We'll have it here. But Brother Chris Long is going to be doing that weekend service for us. So just keep these in your prayers and in your hearts. John 1, 1. And Sister Monica, Sister Anna, Rachel, are they all like them practicing again like that? After church? Rebecca? No? Christine? We will also practice after second service. Okay. Thumbs up. All right, those of you that practice today, practice again a little bit after service, okay? Then we will be having communion after the communion and foot washing after the service this afternoon. So let's go to John 1, verse 1, and let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for, Lord, having us, Lord, sit here and listen to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us grace and that you've given us mercy. And truly, Lord, it did rewrite our life. There was something that was written on this part of this side of the fall that we could never get away from, and it's called sin, and it's called death. Lord, you came down here and you rewrote our life from a life of sin, Lord, to a life of joy and happiness like we were talking about. Everybody will be happy over there. Well, I'm pretty happy myself now on this side. And I pray that your people are too, Lord. I know we have troubles and trials and tribulations. I know we have sickness and pain and heartache. But, Lord, it's all worth it. It's all worth it because the end result is going to be eternal life with you, Lord. Never have to have a heartache. Never have to have another trouble. There won't be a trial or anything. And if we live, you know, 10 billion years, then we've just begun. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one of us, Lord. I pray that we are striving toward that goal, Lord. That we come to a change of our body and going over into the other dimension, Lord, and waiting for you to wipe this place off and get all the sin off of it. And we'll come right back here, Lord, and live with you for an eternity. Father, we pray that you'd be with the ones that are here, the ones that are not here, Lord, be with the ones that are traveling. We ask you to sanctify us, Lord, and lead us through this journey. And you be the one that speaks today, Lord. You be the one that does the revealing, Father. We depend on you, Lord, and only you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's go ahead and read Colossians 1. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. You may be seated. The Lord adds blessing to the reading of the Word. And as we were talking, I'm going to try to get to a point today that we didn't get to this morning and then continue on. We appreciate everything that everybody's done. We appreciate all the work that the technicians have done to get us to where we can do all this, and it's big enough for everybody to be able to see it. So we appreciate that, and we appreciate the work they did and all the I told them, I said, we hadn't upgraded to about 10 years ago we upgraded. The next time we upgrade, we're going to be upgrading. We getting out of here. We going up. We're not going to have to upgrade equipment. We're going to upgrade out of this place. Amen? I hope we're not here another 10 years, folks. Good grief. Some of y'all will be old. Yeah, Regina, really old. And he... We just all family. Anyway, all right, well, that we talked about preeminence, and I want you to understand that it's to be first and hold the first place. That's what preeminence means. And that's what we, even when we were babies, see, we didn't know how to, Josh, when he was a little boy, the first word he said was what? Most of you know. Mama does. Hot. Hot. He'd put his hand up on the stove as Jim was cooking. He'd put his hand up near the stove and say, hot. Huh? Your stove at Nanny's house. I'm sorry. Stove at Nanny. He'd say, hot. Well, see, he understood one thing. Don't put your hand on that. Amen? But he knew it was hot, so he knew by learning not to touch that. And that's the same thing with me and you. As we start up the statue of a perfect man, even in our natural journey of life, we start out making plenty of mistakes. We start out falling. Well, God bless you, sister. Good to see you. Did you walk in while I was praying or what? But you just appeared. Come in the door. I was somewhere else. Good to have you with us. God bless you. Make yourself at home. We just all one big family around here. Amen? Amen. I didn't hear nobody say amen, so I'm going to say amen. Amen. Anyway, family, you have to watch them too. But we learn how to walk. We learn how to crawl. We learn how to walk. And that's what we're doing in God. God doesn't expect us to know everything the day we got born again. All right? He's a good God. He's a loving God. And he's not a God that's going to, if we fall, that he's going to just, you know, hit us with a 2x4 or do like I said this morning. He's not going to pull out the leather strap that the principal did, and he's not going to start beating on you, right? He's going to teach you and train you. But now there's come a time, though, that you know why I got whipped? I should have knew better. I should have known better, right? That's the reason you got whipped. I mean, you know, Daddy didn't whip me for crashing a car, and I never got in one, right? It was after I crashed the cars when he beat us to death, or half to death. So he never did that, but Mama did, but he didn't. So we survived. Hey, my head shows it's still got knots in it. But look, it's child training. So that's the way in God, the same thing. We try to make this thing so, this Christian walk so hard, but it's you just need to mirror it to the way you grew up. The way you started out and the way you came up in God is the same way you come up. You come up bottle feeding. You come up with, you know, your mama. Now, my mama did it. I don't know if y'all did it. My mama would sometimes, she'd kind of crush our food up before she fed it to us. We didn't have all that processed stuff where they ground it for you. She'd have to mash it up and then, you know, with peas and carrots and all that stuff and feed it to us. I think she may eat it and then give it to us, but chewed on it. But that's what God does, though. What God doesn't just shove stuff down your throat. He doesn't just take a great big piece of meat. Now, look, Dad and I, we ate a big old steak yesterday at Longhorns. Don't feed that to Cambry or somebody little. What would it do? It'd choke them. It'll choke them and kill them. And God knows better than we do and better than our natural parents. He knows what we need at the time we need it. We just got to cry, as we'll talk to in a minute, Abba, Father. So Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, babies, daddy, daddy. All right? But now there's a time where, what did he tell Moses one time? He said, Moses, why cry? Speak and go forward. And that's what God's looking at me and you. The prophet of God tells us that God wants us to come into speaking condition. Now, he's already spoke. God's already spoke. He's given us the word. He's given us creation. He's given us prophets. He's given us teachers. He's given us everything in our life. But there's a time when he wants you to speak. And you won't speak if you're grown up enough, because the prophet of God, remember, he said, power without character is satanic. Why is that? Listen, if God gave you all the power and you were a baby, trouble. Yeah. First thing you do is somebody make you mad, you zap them out of existence. Right? But now that's not God. As you're going up the statue of perfect man, Brother Brown says you pray for that person. You would pray for that person instead of condemning them or damning them to hell. You know, you understand what I mean? That's what we do a lot of times. But if we have patience, godly patience, it'll help us grow. Godly patience will help us grow. Regular patience will help us in life. But patience with God. How many of you want it and want it right now? 99.9% of you. Yeah, you want it and you want it right now. June's stepmom had a thing in her kitchen that says, "Lord, give me patience, but I want it now." So that's the way we are. But what happens, though, if we do that and God gives us and we step out above that or beyond that, we make a mistake. Because we can't go out past God's program. Whatever his program is, we've got to get in it, stay in it, right? And then he will do what he said he would do. But now if we go do our own thing, we're going to really mess up. Amen? But we can do our own thing as a child, and we will get our fingers caught in the door. We'll get our hand burnt. We'll get our whatever you want to say when we're children. But as we grow up, we shouldn't walk up to the oven and say, "Hot." No, you don't put your hand on that because you've grown. Same way with God. We've grown up in God. We've had so many years, Lord of mercy, we've had so many years to grow up. And we're slacking, all of us. We're all slacking behind on growing up. All right, so let's go to the next one. We talked about headship this morning, and that's for the head of the church. Listen, without a head, your body can't work. Without a head, your body can't work. Natural, you can have the prettiest body in the world, but no head. It's not going to do anything. It's just going to lay there. All right? So you got to have headship, which is, we know that's Jesus Christ, and we give him the preeminence to take over. But look, we look at these, I kind of shortened this up a little bit. Under headship, we talk about creation. We're a new creation, a brand new man. We were singing about it this morning. But do you really believe that? Do you really believe that you've been recreated? That you have, there is a creature, a creation inside of you. Different from the old creation. Because if you're still stuck in this creation here, then you're of the world and you're of the devil. If you do the things of the world, you're of the world. And the love of God's not in you. Amen? That's why we look different, act different, and people say, "There's something different about you." Why do they say that? Because they see the normal, and then they see you and go, "Why don't you, and why don't you, and why don't you," you know, you understand what I'm saying? Well, you know why? Because something inside of us, another creation has been made inside of us called the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the new birth. The old man is dead and all things have become new. Amen? Not just divorced. You can't divorce the old you because he'll raise his head back up. But now if he's dead, you can accuse him all day long. You can go out in a cemetery and you accuse that person laying there. You can accuse them of everything in the world. Guess what? They didn't do it. Because they're dead. And that's the same thing with me and you. The old nature must die. The old creature must die. The old creation. Now, we know our body still lives, but it's that old nature that we're attached to. That old person that would rile up when it doesn't now rile up. That it would take a drink a beer or whatever you want to call it. Just, you know, brother and sister always call it a laundry list. We always have this laundry list. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't cuss. I don't do this. I don't do that. God doesn't worry about any of that. Hello? God wants change inside here. Once he changes inside here, the outward appearance is going to automatically happen. Amen? You plant an apple tree, an apple seed, you put an apple seed in the ground, apple tree comes up, guess what comes on? You shouldn't be surprised that you get apples. Right? Whatever seed's planted, that's what's going to grow, and that's what's going to come on the fruit at the end of the vine. All right? So that's the same way with me and you. Plant the seed of God. Amen? Get the new birth. Get into the kingdom of God. and he will teach you. He's obligated to his children. He's just like I'm obligated to mine. God's obligated to his children to make you another creation. Apart from this creation, as the prophet of God was telling us this morning. Then we come down to look at dispensations and stages and anointings. Does everybody understand that? We come in through dispensations. There's no way that me and you can stay in, like Luther was a prophet of God. That's what Brother Bram said. For his age. Amen? Luther, Martin Luther. Everybody with me? But he drank a beer and smoked a pipe and talked about God. Because that's all God required was, is the just shall live by faith. No novenas, don't have to pay to get, you don't have to pay to get good. That's what the Catholic Church is. You pay us and you pay us, you pay us and we'll make you good. No, God's never had that in the Bible nowhere. Amen? There's no good, no, not one. But the dispensation of that was clear that that's what God was working in at the time he was working. And then what happened, Martin Luther passes on, John Wesley raises up. God raises up another prophet called John Wesley. And John Wesley looks back at that and says, I think I'll take that just shall live by faith plus. Get away from the smoking and the drinking. And he said tea even didn't have any good quality about it. So he lived so much of a sanctified life. And if you read the history, his wife was pretty tough. He had to be sanctified. Read about it. She really gave him a lot of problems. But that's okay. That was his thorn in the flesh, I guess. I don't know. But he preached sanctification. Right? Then you come over into Pentecost where the gifts came back in 1906. The gifts were restored. The Holy Ghost fell on the day of that Pentecost. Not, we know it fell 2,000 years ago, but in 1906, the Holy Ghost fell. That was a dispensation of the Holy Ghost. That was the gifts being restored. Why wasn't the gifts restored in Martin Luther and John Wesley? Wasn't time. Wasn't the dispensation. It wasn't the stage of the journey that God was on. Hello. God's on a journey too. Amen. He's on, and you know what? He's on that journey to make sure that we stay in line in that journey. All right. Right place, right time, right spirit, right dispensation. So me and you now are in the age of adoption. We've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We've got the new birth. We know it's justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost makes the new birth. We know that. But we got to say plus too. What happened to the Pentecostals? Brother Brown said they cabbaged down, and for us that don't know what that means, they stopped and said, this is it. We've got the gifts working in our life. We're just among angels. We're speaking in tongues, and God is honoring what we're saying. This must be it. And Brother Branham says, no, that just gets you started. You're just getting started at that point. But they said, no, this is it, and we're not taking any more, no furtherment of the word of God. Because they figured they could just speak in tongues and just live any life they wanted to. I was around one time. It didn't matter what he was doing in his life, but as long as he was speaking in tongues, and as long as God was, you know, giving him that feeling, you know, that jerk feeling, you know, he'd be jerking, you know, and he was all right. Temper to fight a buzzsaw, curse like a sailor. But it really didn't matter to him. That was what he grew up in, that he was, as long as he shouted and spoke in tongues, he was fine. But we got to take that plus. There's nothing wrong with shouting and speaking in tongues. But that's not just all it. There's more to it than that. And now we're in that age of more to it. All right? There's more to it. There's more given. There's more required. You and I in this age are required to come to full adoption. We read that this morning. But let's read Ephesians 1. Because this is where we are. We are predestinated unto this adoption of children. According as he has chosen us in him. When? Before the foundation of the world. Like I said this morning, Jesus didn't come to bring us our inheritance. He came to make us a way to get back to the inheritance. What did trying to think. What did Boaz? Boaz was the kinsman redeemer, right? He redeemed what Naomi already had. She had lost it. Like we had lost. We got lost. But he's redeeming back what she had. He didn't redeem back somebody else's stuff. He redeemed back his. So the same way with me and you. He come to the earth to redeem those that would say yes. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. The ones that the bride of Jesus Christ is who he came for. Everybody okay with that? I'm trying to get through this so we can get to a point. But having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now remember, the adoption and the placing is two different things, and we'll get into it in just a minute. Because it is two, not totally different things, but you can have the new birth and not be adopted, but you can't be adopted without having the new birth. All right, everybody okay with that? All right, just like the Bible says, who can call Jesus the Christ without the Holy Ghost? Even something simple like that. Yeah, you can say, well, I know Jesus Christ. Yeah, but is he a personal person to you, or is it just somebody you know? Amen? Think about that. All right, the next thing we're going to go to is we're talking about this morning. We're talking about obedience. And we're talking about full obedience. And let's read the quote here. Full obedience. Right here. The token is the sign that the purchase has been what? Made and been accepted. Amen? Made and been accepted. Full complete obedience puts you and the word one. You believe it every bit, and all of it's in you, and you watch it working through you. We're going to get into that because that's what is manifestation? Making known. Manifestation is making known what God's done in your life or what God's got inside of you or what the devil's got inside of you. Because, excuse me, the devil's going to manifest himself too. He's going to manifest himself in a person called the beast. Pope, whatever you want to call him. He's going to manifest himself because, listen, this is, as the song says, this is manifesting time. You will manifest what's inside of you. I do. You cannot, a lot of people have held it back. Look at some of the people that are leaving the message and all the different things. If they never had anything, they hid so much. They hid so much inside of their self. But remember, Brother Branham, he went and prayed for that girl. Well, he didn't go pray for the girl. He talked to the girl's pastor. Remember, they were talking about give her another hypo. She said, you've lied to us. You've lied to us. He said she was a piano player or the Sunday school teacher. And when her life, when she started dying, her real life popped up, Brother Brown said, or came up. In other words, it began to break open. And she said, I'm lost. I'm lost. And her pastor said, give her the hypodermic needle. You know, she's gone crazy. What he was saying was, I hadn't done my job, shut her up. Yeah. That's exactly what he was saying. Yeah. Well, Lord, I haven't done my job, you need to shut her up. But that's what Brother Brown said, the real person came up. So there was nothing, and the same thing with me and you, as I said before, back a couple of months ago, I said, you're going to manifest, so we might as well just let out what we already got inside of us. Right. Let it out. Right. Good, bad, or indifferent. Let the thing out. Right. If it's a demon, I want it out anyway. If it's God, I want to be able to show it because you can't get rid of God. You can get rid of the demon, but you can't get rid of God. Once you get him, you got him. He's not an Indian giver. Thank God he's not an Indian giver. But full obedience puts you in the word one. You believe it every bit, and all of it's in you, and you watch it working through you. Everybody got that? Then we read the questions and answers, number two. I'm trying to fly through this. I'm sorry. I got to get to a point. I didn't get to it this morning. So I got to cover this point and the point in the afternoon. So if you want to nap a little, go ahead now, and I'll wake you up in just a few minutes. Don't worry. Luis, where's Luis? Oh, he's in the back. Did y'all notice what he was doing? Did y'all hear what he was doing when he's up here? He's got a tambourine on his shoe. You didn't notice that? You didn't hear it? I heard him in there. It's on his shoe, and it's on a piece of stretchy stuff, and he's sitting there patting your foot, and he's going ding, 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 ding. So anyway, so he's manifesting exactly. He's letting some of that Colombian come out. Not Columbia, South Carolina. The country of Colombia. But I want to get to something, so just bear with me just a second. Number two is, let's go to number two. Number two on questions and answers, he said the headstone's yet to come. All right, so what is the headstone? The headstone in the Bible was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was rejected, right? Despised, rejected, no one loved him, nobody knew him until he came back on the day of Pentecost. But everybody left him. And the Bible says that the head has been rejected, and he's become the chief cornerstone, which we know that this is the headstone. If we look at it in a picture, this is the headstone. It was rejected, right? That's why he had to come back. But he became the chief cornerstone. So look at these little corners right here. Oh, June, where's my wife? We need to get this picture before we go to Ohio. So call Chandra and see if we can get that. All right. Doing my work while I'm here. Okay, sorry. If I don't, I won't remember it. Remember what? But this is the cornerstone. But what is the cornerstone? It looks just like the pyramid. Jesus Christ never changed. He never changes. Now, he changes his form, but he never changes his attitude or his character. His character is always the same. So he started down here on the day of Pentecost with the cornerstones and built up this church again. And then in the end time, he sent a little prophet by the name of William Branham that we believe. Everybody, God sent a prophet. Okay. All right. I just have to remind them every once in a while. But this thing wasn't on there. And it's separate. It's away from, because this is the church. The body. This is the body. That's the head. The body's being built, which is the bride of Jesus Christ. And then we're looking for the headship to come, or the opening of the seals. And we know we need to get into that, and we will. That'll be something we'll get into a little bit later on. But see, the seals, when they open, when the prophet of God opened them there in 1963, remember, Jesus had already preached them in Matthew 24, so it wasn't that much of a mystery, but it was the greatest mystery. That nobody understood what those seals were. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They thought it was this, they thought it was that, but then we had a little prophet come along. He had to be adopted. He had to be taken out on a mountain out there in Tucson, Arizona, I believe, when the cloud appeared, and said, "Hear ye him." So we had to hear this message to get the headstone back here, which the headstone is what? Christ. And the headstone is who? The Son of Man. The Son of Man is the headstone. That's when he walked on the shores of Galilee 2,000 years ago. That was the head of all things. That was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He actually had his bride inside of him. He'll never go wrong. If he's got his own bride inside of him, but what has he got to do? Let her out. He's got to get her out. So at Calvary, what did he do? He released his life. He released the bride. And on the day of Pentecost, we've said many times before, Satan is pretty much a fool to know that to think that he can try to defeat his own creator, number one. Right? And number two, if he would have left Jesus alone, Jesus would have just died an old man. He was a human. But Satan had to kill him. Satan had to put him on the cross and had to kill him. But you know what he did? He created something. God had a creation inside of him. And Satan was just used in the hands of God to release it. Because on the day of Pentecost, guess what? Satan had to deal with 120 little Jesuses, not just one. Then there was 3,000 little Jesuses born. Hello, somebody. Acts 2. There was 2,000 down, 3,000 down in below the upper room. That was little Jesuses, and there's been little Jesuses born all since that. There's a bunch of little Jesuses sitting in here today. Amen? Poor old devil. Bless his heart. I do feel sorry for him, but I don't feel sorry for him. He can't get born again. He just can't. He won't believe it. But if he would get born again, look at the problems we'd get rid of. But it ain't going to happen. He's got his place. He's got his dispensation, and he's got his stages to go by. Remember? Beast, false prophet, all that. He's going to head up to what? He's going to head up to a headstone. He's going to be the head of this natural church. Satan incarnate is going to be ahead of this natural church. God incarnate is going to be ahead of this spiritual church. Amen? But we're going to be out of here when that natural church goes into the tribulation. But the headstone's yet to come. But it's on its way. When those seals opened, I believe there was a way made for me and you to see what God had had in his mind before the foundation of the world. And not just to see the written part of it. We got a revelation. We got a revelation of that. Because the book is now open. According to Revelation 10, that the book was open when the mighty angel came down. So we're in an open book age. We're not in a closed book age. We're in an open book age where God's not going to wink at our ignorance if we're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I was just reading an adoption series this morning where Brother Brown said absolute false doctrine was baptism in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Absolute false doctrine. Come from the pits of hell, he said one time. That's pretty tough. Well, brother, that's what Jesus said. Jesus said in the name. He didn't say names. He said in the name. What's my name? Samuel Wade Dale. I'm a person. I'm a human. I'm a postal employee. But I'm one person. And I don't sign postmaster on my checks. I sign my name. Amen? I can't believe that the whole world, and they are deceived by this, and the Bible tells us plainly that the whole family of God is named Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible tells us. Heaven and earth, everything's got a name, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we become baptized in titles, which doesn't even put us in a family. We're talking about family here, all right? Talking about family. All right, let's go to Galatians 4, let's real quick. And we'll start with three stages of adoption. Everybody all right? Those of you that are awake. Oh, thank you. Somebody punch and wake somebody up. Galatians 4:1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, we covered it this morning, just to background a minute, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Listen, what Brother Ernie always say, our attitude determines our altitude. Right? Think about that. Our attitude determines our altitude. So if you take somebody that says, well, I'm a child of, let's say, the king of wherever. Let's say the king of England or something like that. And he stomps out when he's about 4 or 5 years old and he said, I'm here to take over. I'm going to make all the decisions. I'm going to drive the car. We just going to war. At 5 years old. Yet he was a son. They couldn't deny he was in the realm of being the heir. But I'm sure the daddy looked at him, the one that was ruling at the moment. I looked at him and said, shut up, son. Go back in there with the servants and bring me some coffee. I am really glad that my daddy was not my boss in life, working life. Because he said, if I had a business, he said, my kids would start out cleaning toilets. Isn't that what he said? That's what he said. And he said it over and over and over. He said, I'd have them cleaning toilets. Well, that's what this is. He was a son, but he had to learn. Jesus learned by the things he suffered. You're not going to learn by the things we suffered. But really, I mean, I did own a company for a while, several years. But I didn't start out as the owner. I worked as a truck driver. Because I wanted to learn the business. The ins and outs, the ups and downs. So if a guy could come up to me that was driving the truck and he said, look, I'm having XYZ problem. I'd know what he's talking about. Instead of going, I'm the owner. Don't talk to me. Now, how'd you like to have a boss like that? You cleaning houses and somebody ain't never cleaned a house. That's like these people that write books about children and never had a child in a day of their life. I cannot believe that. I cannot believe you got all these people that are just, they get on television and they got all that, and everybody listens to them and you're going, they ain't even married. What are you talking to me about being married? They ain't even married. We got to have somebody with experience. I want somebody with experience. I was reading Brother Brown yesterday. He said, look, I don't want a surgeon that just come out of school, you know, to operate on me. Not the first operation. You got to put me out a long time before this guy comes in the room. But what about an old seasoned veteran? That's who you want to work on you. So an old seasoned veteran that if there is a problem, he knows how to handle it. Well, the same thing with God. You start out as no different from a servant. Though you be Lord of all. Though inside of you is the ability to become not a servant, but somebody with authority. Authority is what we're looking at. Authority, sure, we want to, just like what Brother Brown said. He said, when you get born again, you know, and you ought to remember this. When you get born again, well, let me just tell you my experience. I got born again, and for about 6 or 8 months, my daddy was so gracious, not my natural daddy, my spiritual daddy, and whatever I asked, he just laid it out there. How many of you been through that? But then about a year or so later, somewhere the cable got cut. And God went on vacation. And we're like, where are you at, Daddy? I need you just like I needed you 6 months ago. You know what he says? He calls down, grow up. I've give you all your provisions that you need. I've sent you an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, teacher, and evangelist. I've sent you somebody that can help you with your issues. Why are you calling to me all the time? Amen? Well, that's the way God, same way God does. But we're under tutors and governors, teachers and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And then, you know, Brother Brown tells us, he says sometimes, he said the Holy Spirit will go to God and say, this guy is a renegade. He's just not doing everything he's supposed to do. He's not like the chip off the old block. He's wanting to do his own thing. But now, what does God do? God doesn't say, okay, we're going to kick him out of the family. No, once you're in the family for good. But God wants you to grow up. So he gives us tutors and governors, trainers. Listen, we've had 60 years since the prophet left. 60 some odd years. And what have we done with it? We still babies? We still have to, it's not wrong to call you pastor, but my word, why bother him if the cat's sick? Put your hands on the cat yourself. Me and Jim, several times, we had Cocker Spaniels, and they're notorious for hip dysplasia, which means their hips go out of joint. And they'll just flatten out on the floor. And they'll start whimpering like a baby. We just picked one up one time. We just said, we're not taking you to the vet. We're praying right here. Right, honey? Laid our hands on that little black dog, and all of a sudden, gone. She didn't have any other problem with it that I can remember. But you don't have to call. You take what's inside of you. Even just being a baby, if you're able to know who to contact, right? It's who you know how to contact. And how do you know that? Well, we'll read it right here in adoption number 3, and we'll get to our point in just a second. We're talking about teaching. Teaching places a man positionally what he is. Listen, it's like we were talking the other week. It's wonderful to have someone come in and get your emotion up. Because we are emotional people. Well, some of us are. Some of us are not. So we need that. I think we all do. Okay? But not all the time. A balance. Bring in a good teacher. Bring in a good apostle. I wish we could find a prophet. Like Brother Dale said, always, if we could find one, we'd bring him in here. Some of y'all wouldn't come to church, but. Remember, he's got discernment. Think about that one a minute. Laugh a little bit if you need to. Wake up a little bit. But teaching places a man positionally what he is. And we can never rightly be able to have faith. Think about that. Read that quote. Does everybody believe Brother Brown was a prophet? I just want to make sure y'all still got the same crowd here. Able to have faith until positionally we know what we are. Now, being a son and daughter of God, that is a position. But you got to do the plus part. The next position is what we're going to talk about in just a little while, is the placing. We'll talk about that in just a second. But teaching places a man positionally what he is, and we can never rightly be able to have faith until positionally we know what we are. All right, so let's read number 4, and then we'll get started here. Is everybody okay? We got just about 30 minutes. We'll take communion in just a minute. Now, what is adoption? Now, let me get this now. I don't know whether I won't have time to go through this, but I'll hit it. Then there's a question you can ask me later in the message. Listen, your adoption is not your birth. I've read that over and over and over again. So you ought to understand they're two distinct different things in your life of a Christian journey. All right? Your adoption is not your birth. Your adoption is your placing. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. When you were born, John 1:17, I believe, when we are born of the Spirit of God, we are sons of God. But we are predestinated. What are we predestinated to? Adoption. Now, that was me, not the quote. Now, here's what I'm trying to get you to for this sons of the last day, that's us. See, we're predestinated unto adoption. But yet, look, now, here we are. Now, this is what hurts Pentecostals a little bit. I got born again. Praise the Lord. Got the Holy Ghost. Fine. You're a child of God. That's right. But yet, that ain't what I'm talking about. See, you're predestinated unto adoption. Adoption is placing a son. Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. All right, so now let's start. Wake up just a minute. Let's get this into this important part. We were in a little bit of it the other day, but let's jump in a little more to 3 stages of adoption. First stage is the birth. Everybody okay with that? You got to have a birth. So it is part of the stages or dispensations or whatever you want to call it, anointings. Because listen, without being born again, number one, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You can't understand the kingdom of God. And listen, God's not obligated to talk to you because he's not your daddy at that point. He's not your daddy until you're born again. Now, he's the father. We know they're sons. Come on, people. But God protects his children, not the devil's kids. I thank God for that. We're different and that God wants to make us different. Not that we want to be segregationists, as we were talking about the other day. God's a segregationist. He said, you don't get with that evil bunch over there. You don't marry into that bunch of heathens over there. You don't dabble around in the world. I want you segregated or separated from that evil. All right? So let's get started. For as many of them as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's pretty cut and dry. Most of us, before we became led by the Spirit of God, we were led by a spirit. God says, we were led by a spirit. It wasn't holy. Amen? But we got rid of that one. And we got a new one. We got a new spirit, a new creation, a new you. Like Brother Brown said, not the old you made over. A new you. A new person. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Father, Father, Abba, Father. Because listen, because we're into the family, we receive the spirit of adoption, the spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. All right, here we are. We're children. We're children of God. Everybody children of God? Amen. We are the children of God. If you're not the children of God, it's real simple. Give your heart to the Lord. Give your heart to the Lord. All right? It's real simple. People make it too complicated. And if children, that's that word if, the biggest word in the world. And if children, then heirs. heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So whatever he gets, we get. But there's still a time. Listen, if Paul would have ended that, that would have been it. That would have been all we had to do. If he would have ended that chapter and that was the end of the book of the Bible, that's all we had to do. Nope, there's a lot more to that. Amen? But let's talk about this for a minute. This is your birth. We know we've talked about having the new birth, but we do not believe in this church that you got the new birth just because you believe this message. The devil believes this message, and he come to church before you did, and he'll probably leave after you do. Well, actually, he'll probably leave with you. So he don't bother you when you go home? Oh, yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. So we're talking about the same devil, right? Okay, we're talking about the same devil. Okay, all right. I thought maybe there was a different one, that I only had that one. But we come to church, and we listen to the word of God, and it's supposed to change us. The old has been made new. Think about this. You young people, old people, you did not get the new birth by just a thought. It's not just a good thought or a good idea. You know, I met people in the message a long time ago that had the attitude that because they were in the message, they had something different than somebody else. And they were better than somebody else. See, that's the wrong attitude right there. That's the wrong attitude. Oh, remember, our attitude determines our what? Altitude. All right. If you got born again and it made you arrogant, you didn't get born again. If it humbled you that God, the Creator, would come down to you and change you because you asked him. And you cried, Dad, I need some help. I want to be your child. And you know what he says? Okay. I've just been waiting all these years for you to say that. And then he gives you the new birth, and what does it do? It changes you. It changes the way you even think. Man, if you still think, I mean, listen, we still have those thoughts. We can't help them. I wish we could. I wish our brain was born again, not just our soul. Amen? I do, because that's the greatest battle. That's where that battle is right here. If you're born again, there's not a battle in your soul. There's not a battle in your heart of you. Not this thumping thing. But if you're not born again, you got a problem here and here. But get this thing born again. Because in your spirit realm, you're not. Memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination, that is our problem. The memory of what I did didn't get washed away when I got born again. Now listen, it got washed away to him. It got washed away to God. Because God said, I'm going to forget them. I can do that. And I'm going to put them in a sea so deep you can't even find them. And I can't even find them. How many times do we worry about things we did and we say, God, forgive me. And he's like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Why do we keep bringing them up? If they're buried and dead, don't dig the sucker up. Why would you want to dig a dead body up? Whoo! Stinketh. That's what it be, a stink. But let it go. I'm glad he don't remember them. But our fight is the battle in our brain of our memory, reason, conscious, affection, and imagination. So if you're born again today, I'll promise you, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. Listen, when I was a sinner, it didn't bother me to go. I didn't go to bars anyway much. But it didn't bother me to go to a bar. It didn't matter to me to put a beer in the refrigerator. It didn't bother me to put a cigarette in my mouth, which I never did smoke. But it didn't bother me if I did. Because why? There was something inside of me that said, hey, that's okay. That old you was like, ah, it's okay. You can curse that person out. Ah, it's okay. He deserved it. Right? But now, when that person curses at you, what do? You say, God, I used to be that way. Thank you for forgiving me. Now forgive him or her. Can we say that? Can we say and really mean it? God, Jesus hanging on a cross, Stephen being stoned. He said, Father, don't let this be on them. Forgive them. And I believe they did. Because you know who was standing there holding the coat when Stephen got stoned? Mr. Saul. Or Paul. Mr. Saul. He was standing there holding the coats. And he was participating. Not stoning, but he was there. Participating. But you know what? That bothered Paul. All of his life. Because he was a human. He knew he had put those Christians to death. He caused them to blaspheme. And now God was going to use him, though, to open the door to the Gentile church. What am I saying? Doesn't matter what you've done, folks. And you say, well, I may have blasphemed the Holy Ghost. If you have one desire in your heart, one desire in your heart to do better for God or want to have more of God, you have not blasphemed. When you blaspheme, that's it. You're done. Even if you did try, like Judas did, and like Esau did, not going back. And one day you'll just sear your conscience, and you'll be just worse than you were before. But let's talk about this just for a minute. Let's read 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Everybody all right? Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, look, to them that what have what? Oh, I'm sorry, not up there yet. Thank you. 2 Peter. That's Levi. Levi's driving a car today. Hey, listen, we've got some young kids that know how to do stuff back there in that room back there. And we've got some really good brothers that are training them, too. And with this new system, it's totally different than what they've done before. So just bear with them. And we all do. Just hurry up. A servant, an apostle. That was the devil said that. I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah, that's right. I'm just human. Look, but look, to them that have what? Obtained. Obtained like precious faith. Now, this is the part where we were talking about the other day where you've got a side over here that preaches that you don't get anything until you got to get all these virtues, and then God gives you the Holy Spirit, okay, according to this chart we're looking at. And then we've got another group of people in the message that says you got it all when you believe. You don't need anything else. Just sit back and relax. They're both wrong. But they both do have some truth. But look. But you to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, Peter was born again, right? Through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus our Lord. According as his divine nature, divine power, has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Wow. Even in our life, our natural life and our spiritual life. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now watch. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these, the prophet said, these promises, you might be partakers of the divine. Look how that word divine. Divine nature. Divine power. He's talking about the new birth. Before you go up the pyramid. How you going to get all these? Listen, how you going to get the nature of God if you ain't got a part of him in you anyway? No way. We've got a nature, all right, if we don't have a nature of God, but it ain't of God. Look, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and besides this, giving all diligence. Add. Everybody with me? Add. Besides this. In other words, what? Besides having the new birth. Add this to it. Is that crazy? No, it sounds exactly the way I read it. And besides getting all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, your virtue knowledge. You got to get the divine nature of God before you can decide whether that nature that's coming in you is divine or not. Because, listen, some of these virtues are just man-given. There's some people that do not have a temper. Hadn't met many of them yet. Because remember, well, remember my spirit irritates their demons. So, anyway. And besides this, giving all diligence, add. So there's the add. There's the new birth. Everybody okay with that? Now, Acts 2:38. Well, here we go. Let's read this. Then Peter said unto them, repent. That's our problem. We're wanting people to get baptized. We want to throw them in the water. Let's get them repented first. Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. I'm sorry. I'm loud. I'm sorry. Wear some earplugs. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father and of the Son. Oh. Now, wait a minute. This is Peter, right? This is Peter. Didn't Peter, when Jesus was there, didn't Peter say, all right, Peter said, I'm going to give you a key. I'm going to give you a key. And whatever you lock on earth, I'll lock it in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'm going to loose it in heaven. So why in the world would on the day of Pentecost, he's getting ready to loose the Holy Ghost onto the world? And him tell them to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ? Oh, Peter, wait a minute. You were standing there. Jesus told you to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Well, that's exactly what is happening. Because the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, who? Is Jesus Christ. And that puts you in the family. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall what? Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise isn't to you and to your children and to all that are far off, and even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Repent and be baptized, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Wow. That's pretty stout. But guess what? That's your new birth. Let's go to number 5. Read this one real quick. In adoption series, watch this. In this promised land, and I want to kind of slow down just for a second. I'm sorry. In this promised land, everything belongs to us in the promised land. Now, what did I just tell you the promise was? The new birth. Right? I just told you the promise is to you. It's the promise of the Holy Ghost. Not just to be an anointing, but to live inside of you and make you a child, son, and daughter of God. All right? In this promised land, everything belongs to us in the promised land. Now, look. Potentially, everybody with me? Potentially, Israel possessed that land of Canaan, potentially, because God gave it to them. God said, Abraham, wherever your sole of your feet is, that's where you're going to possess. But they got driven out of that land because of what? Disobedience, idol worshipers. They didn't stay with the one true God, so God drove them out of the land. Right? But it was theirs. God said, you're going to be out of that land for 400 years. 400 years, remember he told them. But I'll bring you out with a mighty hand because you know what? I give you that land. I told Abraham, wherever his feet landed, that was your possession. Wherever you walked, that's why footsteps means possession. That's why we've walked all over this world and we've possessed this earth. Because being the bride of Jesus Christ, we own this place. Here's a shocker. We're going to live here for an eternity too. We're not going to live on no cloud. How boring would that be? No, we're going to live on earth because we were Adam was what? God of the earth. We're coming back to what? Full redemption. God in me and you, we own this earth. He gave it to us. So look, see, Brother Colin, see everything in the promised land. When Israel crossed over this Jordan into the promised land, fought down everything. Now, he stopped. Now, watch. Now, remember, in this promised land, that don't mean you're immune from sickness. You say, oh, see, that's where the Pentecostals failed. They said, oh, we got the Holy Ghost, we speak in tongues, we're among angels, everything is hunky-dory. If you don't know what hunky-dory is, Google it. In this promised land, that don't mean you're immune from sickness. That don't mean you're immune from trouble. But it does spell this, oh, let it sink deep. It's yours. Just rise up and take it. Wow. Rise up and take it. All right, let's go to number six. We'll get back to the promised land in just a minute. Questions and answers, 1961. Let's just read the red. The promise is the baptism of the Spirit, which is promised all through the Old Testament. Do y'all know that it was promised in the Old Testament? Sure it was. And new too. See the promise. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Peter said that on the day of Pentecost. That's what Joel said, right? It is hot in here. Y'all are fanning this. It, a little warm. That is the promise. The promised land is to live in this land of the Holy Spirit. That's God's promise for the church, is to live in the power of the Spirit. Wow. It's another world. Wow. It's another land. You have to come out of the conditions that you've been in to come out to live in this promised land to receive the promise. Remember the promise, you shall receive power from on high. After this, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And Peter said that the promise that was made all down through the Testament, old and new, you find promising on up to that day of Pentecost, and then they entered into that promise. Let's go to number seven. Adoption, 1960. Look, now that son is going to be the heir of everything that he's got. He's an heir, but don't watch. And when we are born in the kingdom of God by Jesus Christ, we're an heir of heaven. Joint heirs with Jesus because he took our place. He became us that we might become him. He became me that I might become him. Joint heirs with him. All right. Now remember, that's to each one of you. Now remember, God predestinated you by foreknowledge. Everybody okay with that? That you were coming to this. To what? Adoption. You got to get born again first. Then you come to this. Everybody understand it? Raise your hand. God, by foreknowledge, predestinated you to come to the promised land. What is the promised land for the Christian today? Just raise hand, your hand if you know it. The promise is unto you and your children. What? The promise of the Holy Ghost. All right, so the baptism of the Holy Ghost puts you as an heir. It puts you in the will. Right? Puts you in the will, because remember, if you're not in the will, why do you need to go to the court? You're not going to get anything. But once you get into the will of the Bible, then there's all your promises. Now, it's the promise when you get into that land. It's a promise that you can be positionally placed. And that's what we're going to talk about just for a few minutes. Let's go to the second stage, placing or adoption. Now, here is Romans 8. We read Romans 8, 14 through 17. All right? So now we're on verse 18. So it just I just broke these apart. Now watch. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in Jesus. For those of you that are awake, that doesn't say Jesus. That says us. Revealed in us. Now, we're heirs and joint heirs. At the new birth, that's what should be revealed to you. I am a child of God. Now that I am a child of God and I'm in the will, when the testator died, he wrote a will. Amen. Jesus died. You can't have a testament without the death of a testator. That's what the Bible says. So Jesus Christ had to die to give you a will. Every Sunday you walk in church, God is reading you the will. He's telling you what you got. That was weak. He's telling you what you got. But now listen, if you're not born again, number one, you probably won't be in church, so you won't hear the reading of the well. But because you're in the family, you get every bit of this. This is your will. His will is his what? His word. So you come every Sunday to listen to the reading of the will. Now, the reading of the will doesn't just say, you're born again, that's it, stay a baby. I don't want to use you. I don't want to be revealed in you. That's not what God said. Totally opposite. He said, I want to be revealed in you and through you. I want you to have every promise in the book. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Amen? So let's go a little bit more. Second stage. For the earnest expectation, watch this, of the creature. Now that word is translated also to creation. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Watch. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. If you don't understand what that is, watch. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity. In the Garden of Eden, before the fall, the world was created perfect. Right? But because of one little thing that happened, everybody got it? You're made subject to vanity. Not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. In other words, Christ had to come to bring us back to that. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation, look, groaneth and travaileth in pain together until when? Now. Until right now. Everybody okay with that? Now, this is the placing or adoption. This is not your new birth. This is after you're born again. You've come into the family of God. You start reading the will to see what God's give you. And you come to church and you listen to a preacher teach you how to read the Word of God. Whoa. Bro, wait, I can read that for myself. I can go to the house and read that. Yeah, you'd be just as confused as the rest of the world. That's why we come to church, folks. That's what we come to know that the right will is being read. And that what I get is right here in the Bible. And you open up to anywhere. Daniel, Hosea, I'm sitting here reading now. You look at all the old, even in the Old Testament. You've got promises from listen, the greatest promise is Genesis 1:26. God's going to have a family. He's going to create himself a family. But what's going to happen is when Satan stopped the son and daughter of God from being born in the Garden of Eden, God just said, okay, that's fine. I'm still going to bring my children. I'm just going to do it a couple thousand years later. I'm going to come down here and do it myself. Because Adam failed. But this second Adam will not fail. And what did the second Adam, why did he not fall for? He didn't fall for Satan's lie. And he had me and you inside of him. So he had to get us out. All right, so let's read this real quick. Now we're going to come to the stage of adoption, of placing. Listen to this. Believer's position in Christ, number 8. We'll read this real quick and then we'll get ready to take communion in a minute. Now in the spiritual sense, after we were born in Christ, look, after we were born in Christ, we became children of God. But then see, God knows best. Now here's what I say reverently, disagree with my latter rain, brethren. You think I'm persecuting the church? No, my dear brother, no. No, this boy, after he got a certain age, he had to be adopted into the same family he was born into. Ah, so now we've come to the second stage. Not just that he's born into the family, but he's got to be adopted into the same family he was born into. Any minister knows that's the placing of a son. He had to be adopted into the family that he was born into. Could you imagine that? But see, that's the Old Testament teaching. We see that. But Paul referred to it back in the book of Ephesians. So let's go to number 9, the believer, the position of a believer, 1955. This is the 1955, Brother Brown's talking about this. Now watch. And now this epistle, the letter to the Ephesians, was written to believers, not to the outside world. All right? This is believers. That's why I thought this afternoon first I'd test and see if there's a group. What? Oh, yeah, I giggled when I saw this. I thought this afternoon first I'd test and see if there's a group of unbelievers. I didn't do that, okay? I'm sorry. And sinners, then I couldn't speak this here. But now seeing that it is for believers and the believers are present, I thought it would be good if we let the believers see where he is. Are we that place now? Now, try hard, Christians, to understand that this day, the message has been placing the believers in positionally placed. If every believer in here was in their place, everybody wake up just a minute. If every believer in here was in their place, well, I'm so thankful that we're the whole rows of wheelchairs set. There's only about two or three left in here. He'd had a prayer service before, the night before. If every believer knew their place, a lady on a cot, man with the crutches, there would not be a feeble person in this building in the next 20 minutes. Everybody still believe Brother Brown was a prophet. We believe what he said. Okay. All right. That's right. If every man could simply find his place, his or hers, sister, that's you too, in Christ Jesus, what a difference it would make. Now, I know, he's discerning, I feel your mind rolling fast. Now, Brother Brown, I know where I am. You think you do. If you do, it'd be different. Whew. Let me read that one more time. Now, I know, feel your mind, that means he was discerning their mind. Somebody thought, now, Brother Brown, I know where I'm at. He said, you think you do? See, that's it. If you did, it would be different. Can I say that to Lewis Church? If you did know your position, it'd be different. Now let's read number 10, A Hidden Life in Christ. That one hurt too much. I'll move on. Now after this child become of age, now he's still a child. But if the child was reckless and never paid any attention and wasn't so interested in the father's work, that child never become adopted to that family. But if he was a correct child, a good child, and loved the work of his father and was interested. It's kind of strange for y'all today to be interested in what's being said. And trying to do all he could do to progress. Look, not his work. Not his work. The father's work. Right. Listen, my father wrote the will. Right. I'm supposed to manifest him, not me. Right. Then the tutor brought that word to the father, and there was what's called the placing of the son, or as Paul gave us in Galatians, the adoption, that we were predestinated into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, the adoption. Now what? Look. Now the same son that was born into a family could be adopted into the same family, are placed in the same family, are give a position in the family that he was born into. All right, so that's separated. You got born again over here, then you've got positionally placed in the body or in the family of God. And I do believe that that is the work of the Holy Spirit today among the church, is trying to place in the church positionally apostles, teachers, prophets, and so forth. As we've seen many false alarms. And so forth, moving amongst the people, which only indicated that the real genuine adoption was at hand. Amen. I believe it. God has to place into the church. That's the business of God, not of man. Right. Let's go to Hear Ye Him, 1960. We'll read this one and it may stop right there. Hear Ye Him, 1960. Then how the father says, sure proud of that son. You know what happens when he's getting his schooling, his training, yet he might not be able to exercise all authority. He hasn't got it yet. He's still a son, but he hasn't been placed. Now, you ministers know what I'm getting to, it placing of a son. Now, look, if that son proved to be a right kind of son, loved the father's business, stayed right with his instructions, The father then on a certain day took that son out before the public, set him up on a high place, clothed him in a beautiful garment, and had what they call an adoption of a son, or placing a son positionally what he was. They had a ceremony, and then the father said, "This is my son, I adopt him or place him positionally." And if they had checks in those days, that son's name on the check was just as good as the father's name, because look, because he was placed. The son could fire who he wanted to. He could hire who he wanted to. He was in full possession of all the father had. Full possession. Now listen to this. Because we're going to get back to placing, because we got to go into Joshua and placing the people in the land. Hear ye him. Listen to this one real quick. Then we'll get ready to take communion. Number 11. Oh, wait. That's two number 11s. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, this is E38, so it's a continuation. Just keep scrolling it. There we go. Placing of a son. Take him out in a certain place. Have a ceremony before angels. And place him positionally what he is in the body of Christ. Then that person has the authority. Let me say this, if you count me a fanatic from this night on. That very same thing that I'm speaking of will be done. There's a power put into the church and now is coming in that the Holy Spirit will so anoint the people till they'll speak the word and it'll create itself. Right there. We haven't seen powers like that coming into the church now. I know it for a fact. Saying to this mountain, be moved, don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you've said, it shall come to pass. You can have what you have said. The placing of the church in position where the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost comes into the church. Then critics' mouths will be shut. It'll be a short time. Jesus came right off the mountain, went straight to Calvary. Notice it won't last long, but it'll be here. Wow. We still believe Brother Brown was a prophet. Okay. Now watch this real quick. Number 12. We'll read these next three and then we'll be done. How many likes to study the book of Galatians? Oh, I mean Ephesians. He was in Ephesians. Now, Wednesday night, we're going to go into the seal. Next Sunday, we're going into the positionally placing the church. We'll probably get into it. Let's keep on down. God has adopted us unto the sons. We are sons by birth. Adopted, positionally placed by the Holy Spirit. Look, they were everyone Hebrews when they crossed the river. Everybody okay with that? They were the children of Israel when they come to the river. You're a child of God when you come to the river. When they cross the river, but look, Joshua divided the land and gave each one his land according to the utterance of his mother at the birth where the Holy Spirit told her. We talked about it last night. We'll get into it later on. Now watch, let's go to number 13, 1962. Now we find that when Joshua divided the inheritance to the people, each person was placed positionally, exactly the way these Hebrew mothers named those children, how they were placed in Palestine just at their place, Asher, Gad, Naphtali, and each one, Judah, everyone just placed in their position. What a wonderful picture it gets us, because it's a type of God, what? Placing in the church. Himself, every member, every stone, every place, every Christian to itself. Each one of us in our peculiar, thank the Lord, all of us peculiar people say hallelujah. Each one of us in our peculiar way has a place in the house of God. Like Solomon's temple when it was cut out all over the world. You know that? Did you ever study that Solomon's temple? The Bible said there was no hammer, no sound of a hammer, no sound of a saw. Brother Gary? Can't happen. Mm-mm. He's got about four saws in his truck. Why? Because we need that. But what happened was that was so perfect that God gave them the measurements and they cut them while they were out there in the field. And they didn't miss it by none. When they brought it to the temple, it was just like a jigsaw puzzle. They just put that thing together just like this and was not a sound of a hammer. There was not a sound of a saw. Same thing with me and you. Now watch. Each one in a peculiar way. All right, we already read it. Let's go to number 14. This would be the last one. Get ready for communion. I want to make a few comments for a second. But he had to divide the lands, and there was 12 tribes to divide it by. Now, what if he had had some pigs and pets? What if he liked the tribe of Gad better than he liked the tribe of Ephraim? The tribe of Joseph better than he did Judah? But he didn't do it that way. He divided it according to the word revealed by the Spirit. He divided it according to tribes. And notice he done it by the revelation, by discernment. By the discernment of God's Spirit, he did it. Each one of those Hebrew mothers giving birth to those babies called their name, and each one of their name had a meaning. So every time those, now remember, like I said before, you've got Leah, you've got Rachel, and you've got some concubines mixed into all that to have all the 12 children. But every time they were in labor pains and they screamed out Reuben or Gad, God positionally placed them spiritually, and then who Joshua had to discern by the Spirit where to put them. And why in the world did he, it wasn't just coincidence that the two tribes wanted, said, hey, we'll just stay over here on this side. And half the tribe of Manasseh said, we're going to stay on this side. But now what we'll do is, though, we'll go into the land and help our brothers fight. But this is, there's a lot of green grass out here for our cow. There's a lot of stuff on this side that we'll keep. And he took a prophet of God. Thank God for a prophet. Where Brother Brown said, oh, we know what that is. That's the two tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. That's justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because, listen, that typed Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. They couldn't come to adoption. Come on, people. They couldn't come to a placing. Wasn't required. Right in that dispensation. But there was a half tribe of Manasseh that was right over the border that connected to that other half tribe of Manasseh, showing that the Holy Ghost was going to take us on into the land and then positionally place everybody there. Oh, God, thank God that he sent us a prophet to be able to tell us that. And then we look at that and say, like Hattie Wright did, that ain't nothing but the truth. Luther and Wesley and Pentecost couldn't come to adoption. They didn't have enough word to get them to adoption. They were in this land, but they couldn't go over into the promised land. That half tribe of Manasseh, though, went across the promised land and was able to connect back to the Pentecostals. And then the prophet of God, the Holy Ghost, brought them across the land and positionally placed them in the land. And we'll talk about that when we get started next time. Let's stand to our feet. And there's just a lot to adoption and placing. I wanted to just kind of go through it, but the Lord, I think, this morning kind of backed me up a little bit and said, no, you need to talk about the placing because that's important. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you know your place? Do you know your position in God? If you're born again, it's required that you know your position. Because if the Hebrew children that were born from their mother, church, born again, if you get born again, somewhere down the line, you've got to know where your place is. And the problem is, and we'll read it next week, where we had Manasseh or Gad trying to put a little corn in Reuben's field. No, Reuben had a position. Stay out of that. I know I'm not a prophet. I'm not going to try to be one. But I am a believing minister of the gospel, and so should you. You should know where your position is at and what you're doing. You should know when you walk in the door and not be what? Tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Because listen, Satan is here to do that. He will do it. That's his job. But you know what? It's God's job to protect his children. Amen. And it's God's job. Listen, you can't positionally place yourself. Amen. You got to go back to your birth. Right. and let God place you through your birth. That's the way the children didn't. Reuben didn't just say, "This is mine." We're running across the river, you know. I got this. Don't cross this line. No, Joshua said, "Okay, from here to the river, over so many hundred feet, 1,000 feet, whatever it is, this is yours, Reuben. Gad, this is yours over here." And Brother Branham, I'll read it next week. Brother Branham's talking about dipping your foot in oil, and all the different ones had the different names, and they were positionally placed right where God had put them and wants them. And he said they're still in that position today. They just don't know it. They just do not know that they're in that position. And not knowing in that position, guess what? They're waiting on me and you to get out of the way. But who's got to see their position first? Me and you. We got to see our position first before Israel as a nation can get into their position. So who's holding this rapture up? Oh, it's just me and Brother Donnie and the sister back there. Okay, well, y'all pray for us three. And confession is good for the soul. Who's our biggest problem? You? No. Me? All right. You love the Lord? Listen, he's give us something that the world does not have. And listen, we didn't separate ourselves. God did. God did. And if the world don't know it, then you probably need to go to praying. If the world don't know you're different, you need to get to praying. Amen? 1 Corinthians 11, we come to communion time, and I'm sure glad we're starting taking communion and foot washing again because it is an ordinance, but I just enjoy doing it because it makes you feel whole. It makes you feel that you've done what God's told you. Hey, it's in the will. We're doing what's in the will. All right? So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. This is Paul talking, and Paul by revelation was the one that was given the commission to write this, because he wasn't even in the upper room. So he's giving it by revelation, and giving it by revelation, he's telling you exactly what's going on in the upper room. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament." There's the New Testament, because the testator hadn't died yet, but he was fixing to die that morning, the next day. "In my blood, this do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself." That's kind of what we did today. We examined ourselves to see where our position was, to see if we even were in a position. Amen? Please, folks, we got to know where we're at. We got to know who we are. Then we'll see a lot more healings and a lot more things going on. Amen? "Wherefore, who shall ever eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Now, what's the body of the Lord? The bride. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come." Let's have a moment of silent prayer. The prophet of God tells us to clean yourself up and pray for your pastor. So let's have a moment of silent prayer. Lord, I pray that you bless the people here. Lord, may as we go through this ordinance that we're going through, Lord, that truly the Holy Spirit will come and anoint us each one, Lord. Give us a powerful anointing, Lord, that we can know, Lord, that we're doing the right thing. Your presence is felt. And, Lord, that we're going up that statue of a perfect man. We're coming to that placing, that adoption, Lord, where we know what to do with the word when we're given. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one in the furtherment of this service. Forgive us of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible said he took the bread and he blessed it. Dear Lord Jesus, this bread, Lord, was made with holy hands. Not just some cracker or a loaf of bread that we buy off a shelf, Lord. It's made by whoever and whatever. But, Lord, no, it's been made by holy hands the way it should have been made. And, Father, now as we break this, let's remember, Lord, that your body hung on Calvary for our sins. And that body hung on Calvary for our sicknesses, Lord, and our shame and the things that we did, Lord. And you took every bit of that into your bosom, Lord, and you died. And you released your life, Lord, that it can come back on a set of believers. And you gave us these ordinances, Lord, that we should do until you come, Father. So as we take this wine and we take this bread, Lord, we pray that you sanctify the people that are taking it and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's interesting that the world don't, when you tell people you take communion, I came across one gentleman just a couple of months ago when I was getting my notary over at the courthouse in Banks County, and his name's Tim Harper, and he's a really good guy, super nice guy. And we were talking about church, and he said, and he's a Methodist, he said, how do y'all take communion? Because he knows probably Terrence and Anna more than he does me, but I've got to know him in the past few years. But he said, how do y'all take communion? I said, well, we bake our own bread. We don't buy it at store. We don't put it up overnight. I'm going to burn this. When I get home, I'll take a torch and I'll burn this where it will be unusable because you don't hold it over to the next day. All right? He said, well, that's wonderful. He said, now I'm going to ask you. He said, what do y'all drink? I said, well, Tim, I said, we've never drank grape juice. He said, praise the Lord. He said, somebody is doing it right. Because as a Methodist, I mean, they take it like what we used to do with it. We used to take and mom and dad would cut it, make it weaker, grape juice. Right, Dad? Right, Mom? The older people couldn't stand the grape juice. Boy, they'd die if they drank this stuff, wouldn't they? So be careful. If you've never taken communion with real wine, be careful. It's real. But he said, thank you for doing that. He said, that's the way it should be done. See, there's people caught in these denominations that just do what the denomination does and doesn't have a way out. I told him, I said, well, just come to church with us one time. First Sunday of every month, we take communion. I said, you'll have wine and you'll have real bread that's made by holy hands. And that's some of the best wine. Now, we ain't wine drinkers, but that is some of the best wine in the world because it's made with holy hands, and it's made the right way. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wine, Lord. It's been made, Lord, by holy hands, and also it's been looked over by somebody, Lord, that just takes care of this wine and helps it, Lord, but it doesn't help it to get, Father, it doesn't help it. It's not going to get rank or it's going to get better with age. All that grape juice and the things of the world, all that will rot and go away. But this wine will just keep getting better and better. So, Father, as we partake of this wine, Lord, may the Holy Spirit in each one of us, Lord, get stronger and stronger and better as the days go on. Lord, it'll help us fight the devil. And, Lord, all his demons and spirits, Lord, that come against us, Father, we pray that as we take this, Lord, communion, that it's a promise, Lord, that if we take it till you come, Lord, that we'll see you and not see anything else, Lord. Let us see you, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, the whole world, I mean, they're groaning and waiting. We didn't get to all that for the manifestation of the sons of God. Animals. Why do you think there's volcanoes? Why do you think there's tornadoes? This whole world's wanting to be delivered. Because it's not going to be in the millennium. It's not going to be in the future home. We're not going to have to worry about tornado drills, anything like that. It's just like we were talking the other day. We don't know what it feels like not to have pain. or worry or what we're going to do tomorrow. How are we going to get to work? How long are we going to have to work? Is somebody going to get ill and throw a book at me or kick me out? That's something we fear or worry about every day. But what about a day when, number one, you don't have a morning because you don't wake up? It's just day all the time. And you don't have to worry about all that. What a wonderful time. It's what is something in store for us that we can't fathom. We've just got to believe that God is going to do it for us. But listen, he's going to give us a little piece of it now. Because when we come to this adoption and placing, I believe that the fire's going to fly. I believe that. God wouldn't have put us in a position if he didn't. He put us all in a place, and I believe that's where we're at. That we can know what God wants done when he wants it done. And that we'll yield ourselves and let him have dominion over us. Just like it was in the Garden of Eden. It wasn't a lion eating a rabbit or no. That's not something we're going to talk about in the millennium. That's not going to happen in the millennium either. The lion will lay down with the lamb. We can't even fathom that. It'd be led by a child, a big old ferocious lion that we would run from. And Brother Brown said this morning, I read it in a book, he said, I wouldn't even trust being around one with a 30-06, much less a sling. That's what he's talking about. David, you know, killed the lion and the bear. He said, I'd have a 30-06. I wouldn't have a sling. He was telling the truth, you know, humanly. But then something takes over. And then what took over with Brother Branham, remember, he walked through that field that time, and the bull that had killed a person before was laying right there in his way. And that bull got up, turned around, charged him. He said, if I'd have had my gun, I'd have shot him. See, he was a human. But God took over and said, bull, stop, go lay down. And said, the bull had, if you read it, you'll see that I could just see the bull. The bull had this bewildered look on his face. Like, where did that power come from? Never felt that power before, except back in the Garden of Eden. That's what we're coming to, folks. That's what we're coming to. We must believe that. The Word of God promised it. And listen, we're built for this. We're astronauts. We're built for this pressure. If you're not, get born again. That'll help it. Amen. All right, God bless you. Let's partake of the communion. Thank you, Lord. All right, if you got your Bibles, let's turn to the book of John while they're getting ready. We'll have communion. The ladies will go downstairs. The men will stay up here. And like I've always said, we need to be reverent. Sisters, be reverent downstairs. Don't make a lot of noise. Children, go outside if you need to go outside. Men, if you're not taking foot washing, you need to get born again. Just saying. Jesus said, you have no part with me if you don't. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. St. John, verse 13. The supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he was come from God and went to God. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. He's fixing to be a servant. That's what we just read. The Creator. He created the cloth, the water, and the feet that he was going to wash. Yet he stooped down. And listen, it ain't like us because we take baths all the time. Think about them walking all through the... Brother Brown explains it, walking through the manure and through the this and through the dust. That water wasn't clean. But God didn't mind because he said, you need to do this till I come. He rises from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus said, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never. Now look how bold he was. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus said, If I wash you not, you have no part with me. Pretty blunt. Simon Peter said unto the Lord, said, Not only my feet, but my hands and my head. Wash me all. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew he would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment, was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. The God of heaven. Washing. Only Brother Branham could call him a foot wash flunky. That's what he was. The God of heaven. But he did it what? He did it for an example for us to do it. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that is sent him. If you know these things, happy. Happy are ye if you do them. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, we've been through every ordinance now to accept the last one, the foot washing, Lord. And I pray, Lord, as we wash each other's feet, Lord, that we see that you did that day, Lord, several thousand years ago. You stooped down and you washed the disciples' feet. And you washed them with a towel. And you sat down. And then in John 17, you said, Lord, Father, I pray that they be one as we are one. Lord, I pray that as we wash the feet, that we become closer together with our brothers, Lord, but also closer together to you. That you'll be given the preeminence and the obedience that we give that to you, Lord, and not to the world. Father, we ask you to be with each one of us, Lord, as we go in our separate ways. Be with the ones, the visitors here, Lord. We pray that you'd bless them and be with them. We sure enjoyed them being here today, Father. We pray that you would just take care of each one. Lord, it's all going to be a Monday morning tomorrow. But, Lord, I pray that every person in this building has the best Monday they've ever had in their life. If they don't have the Lord, then I pray that the Lord, you'll come tonight, Lord, and you'll soften their heart up, Lord, so that you can speak to them. But, Lord, I pray even the ones that are already the sons and daughters of God, that you give them an extra blessing this week. And, Lord, that you'll be with us, Lord, and guide us till we come back together on Wednesday night. Bless our pastor. Keep him strong. Be with each one, Lord, that's sick. Take care of the ones, Lord, that are not here today, Father. There's many needs, Lord, that we see the many lists that Brother Dutch Scott and all the different ones and the ones we have here of people that are sick and going through troubles and trials. Lord, we pray that you would soothe each one of those, Father. Take that balm of Gilead, Lord, and go to each one, Father, the ones that we know and even the ones that we don't know, Lord. We pray that you'd touch us now and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Ladies, go downstairs. Gentlemen, stay up here. Come morning, I'll walk.